Perek Hey, Mishnah Beis. Kol Shechayav in Alav. Anything that the rabbis prohibited on a rabbinic level, Exer Derabanan. Mishum Shvus. Here we're talking about Shabbos. On Shabbos it says, Ubiyom Ashvi Tishbos, you should rest on the seventh day. So we use the word Shvus to rest, that the rabbis made various rabbinic prohibitions that you should not be doing in order that you rest on Shabbos. And we'll see the examples in a moment. Or Mishum Rishus. You could have something which is actually permitted. Nothing wrong with it. And it's possible there's even a small mitzvah to it. But nevertheless, the rabbis forbade a person from doing it so that he rests on Shabbos. Or Mishum Mitzvah. You could have something which is an actual mitzvah. And nevertheless, the Chachamim forbade it on Shabbos in order that you guard Shabbos. Any of these three types of categories. So B'Shabbos, where the Chachamim, the rabbis, forbade it on Shabbos, Chayav and Olav Yom Tov. The same prohibition would apply to Yom Tov as well on a rabbinic level. And now we'll discuss the examples. Ve'elu hein mishum shvus. Here are some examples of a regular shvus, regular prohibition that the rabbis forbade in order for you to guard Shabbos better, which of course would apply to Yom Tov as well. And this would be an example where there's no mitzvah at all. Just a regular prohibition. For example, lo olin be'ilan. They said you can't climb up a tree, lest you come and break a branch off the tree, and that's prohibited. That's prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov, on the Torah level. So on a rabbinic level, they're telling you, don't even climb the tree, lest you come ahead, lest you go along and break a branch, which is a prohibition on a Torah level. Don't ride an animal. Again, don't ride the animal. Why? Don't ride the animal on a rabbinic level, lest you break a branch to hit the animal for it to, you know, prod along, and that's a Torah prohibition. You can't break a branch on Shabbos or Yom Tov. On a rabbinic level, you cannot swim in the water, lest you build a raft, which is going to be a Torah prohibition. So they're making all these rabbinic prohibitions to save you from transgressing a Torah prohibition. Below tapchem, a person cannot clap his hands, hand to hand, meaning like a regular clap. Or below masapkin, you cannot clap by clapping your palms on your thighs. Below marakhtin, you can't dance either. Why not? Because these three, they're prohibited lest you come and start, you know, show me you talking clay sheer. Once you're in the musical, you know, musical mode, you may go ahead and start fixing your guitar. And that's prohibited, on a Torah level. Okay. Next. Now, these are the things that technically they could be permitted. There may even be a slight mitzvah to it. And nevertheless, the rabbis forbade it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Lo dunin, you cannot sit in court and judge a court case. Lo mekachin, you cannot marry a woman. Lo cholzin, you cannot do chalitza. Lo meyavin, you can't do yibam. So what are these two things? So here's the new concept. If you have a woman that married a person and then the husband died without any children and left a surviving brother, okay, then there's a mitzvah on the brother to marry this woman now, to marry his deceased brother's wife, right? And that's called yibam. The mere act of living with this woman makes the marriage take effect, and that would be yibam. And if the person, the brother, doesn't want to do yibam, then they do chalitza. Chalitza is the process of where they would remove a shoe from the woman, or from the man, I don't remember. But there's a process where they would remove a very specific shoe, and they would spit in it, and this would show that this brother doesn't want to marry his deceased brother's wife. Time doesn't allow us to go into the concept and the nitty-gritty details, but those are the basics, okay? So if you have Reuben that dies and leaves over his wife Leah, and he's survived by a brother Shimon, as long as Reuben didn't have any children with Leah, Shimon has a mitzvah to marry Leah, either with Yibam, to just live with her, and that in an effect takes the effect of the marriage, or if he doesn't want to, that's Chalitza, this process of spitting in a shoe to show that he doesn't want to marry his deceased brother's wife. And the rabbis forbade doing chalitza or yibam on Shabbos and Yom Tov, even though there's a small mitzvah to it, they forbade it nonetheless. Now, the truth is, the Gemara explains that these four things, okay, there's really a real mitzvah to it. It's not just a small mitzvah, there's a real mitzvah. It's just that sometimes there'll be cases where it's going to be just a rishus, a permitted action, and not necessarily a mitzvah, and therefore we put it under the category of the rishus, of just the permitted actions. And they bring down the examples. For example, sitting at a court case normally is a mitzvah, but sometimes it's a rishus. Why? Because if there's a bigger judge in that city, so then it's not the smaller judge's responsibility to judge. So that's what would make his case just a permitted action, not necessarily a real mitzvah. Or marrying a woman, right? If the person marrying the woman is already married with children, and he's marrying a second wife, So on a Torah level, is permitted. So then marrying the second wife is not necessarily a mitzvah, because he already has a wife and kids. And so to Yibam and Chalitza, right? If they're in a scenario where there's an older brother, right? Let's say Reuven dies without any kids and he has two brothers left. So really the mitzvah is on the older brother. So the younger brother, it's just a reshus. It's just, you know, a permitted action. Not necessarily the mitzvah on him, because the mitzvah is on the older brother. So here you see how all these, you know, actions can be, you know, not really a mitzvah in these scenarios. However, even if they are in a real, even if in cases where they're an actual real mitzvah, okay, in like a normal case, still the rabbis forbid it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the reason is in these four things is lest a person come to write. And writing is a Torah prohibition. By the judgment case, you might write a psak din. You might write like, you know, the seal of the court case. With marriage, you might write a marriage contract. And with chalitza and with yibam, you might write either a contract of chalitza showing they're not married, or you might write a contract for yibam showing that they are married. And writing on Shabbos and Yom Tov is all prohibited. So the rabbis forbade these things on a rabbinic level, lest you come to do a Torah prohibition by writing in these areas. Ve'elu, and finally, Hamish mitzvah. Now, these are the things that are actual, real mitzvahs. And nevertheless, the rabbis forbade it on a rabbinic level. Lo magdishin, you cannot marry a woman, magdishin is you can't make anything hektish. You cannot say, I am taking this car and sanctifying it to the base of mikdash, that it should be designated for the base of mikdash. That's prohibited. Lo ma'arichin. Ma'arichin is you can't say, you know, the value of Joe Schmo is upon me that I want to give his monetary value to the base of mikdash as a donation. That's also prohibited. Below macharimin, you cannot make a cherim to hektish to the base of mikdash. I mean, you can say, behold, this animal is a cherim, which means I'm giving it to the base of mikdash. Another form of, you know, sanctifying an object or an animal to the base of mikdash is also prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the difference is that normally a cherim goes to the bedek habayis, to the upkeep of the base of mikdash. Whereas in the first case, just a makdish and making something hektish could be for anything. So that's the two different, you know, that's the two different versions of this. And the Gemara explains that these three things, even though they're actual mitzvahs, the rabbis forbade it on Shabbos and Yom Tov because they are comparable to business, to mekach u'memcha, to buying and selling, right? Because you're taking out of the domain of non-sacred and you're putting it into a sacred domain by sanctifying it to the base of mikdash. And therefore, even though it's an actual mitzvah, the rabbis forbid it on a rabbinic level on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Furthermore, v'lo magbihin, truma u'maiser, person cannot set aside truma and maiser from his fruit on Yom Tov, because he's being mitaki, he's fixing his fruit to be eaten on Yom Tov, right? And you can't fix it on Yom Tov or on Shabbos, okay? However, to set aside challah from your dough that was kneaded on Yom Tov, that, and then, you know, the challah goes to the kohen, so that actually would be permitted on Yom Tov, but of course not on Shabbos. Call Elu be Yom Tov Amru. Now, all these things that we mentioned are shenishta that we learned in the Beis HaMedrash was all said regarding Yom Tov, right? This Masechta the Beis Tov talking about Yom Tov. Kal v'chomer v'Shabbos. All the more so how stringent we have to be for Shabbos that these would apply as well. That they're going to be prohibited on a rabbinic level for Shabbos as well. And even though the Mishnah opened up by saying that anything that, you know, the rabbis forbade on Shabbos is forbidden on Yom Tov also, so what's that referring to? We just said that things that are forbidden on Yom Tov are forbidden on Shabbos. So why do you say in the beginning of the Mishnah, things that are forbidden on Shabbos are forbidden on Yom Tov? So that's referring to different inyanim, different things that have not been mentioned in the Mishnah. And that's just to answer that. But we can go further. The Mishnah concludes, Ein bin Yom Tov Shabbos. There's no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, right? Ela ochel nefesh bilvad, except ochel nefesh, meaning eating. We just learned out of a pasuk, right, that it says that on Yom Tov it's permitted to do things that are normally forbidden on Shabbos for eating purposes, right? Whereas on Shabbos it's prohibited. And the Gemara explains that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Beis Shammai, but the halacha goes like Beis Hillel, that hold that once it's permitted to do hotzah, to carry, or to do havara, to light a fire, in order for food purposes, it's even permitted for non-food purposes. For example, to do it for a mitzvah, or to do it for any kind of pleasure that a person needs, according to Beis Hillel, it's actually permitted as well, this carrying and lighting a fire on Yom Tov. So it's interesting to see over here that the Mishnah is following Beis Shammai. But according to the halacha, we go like Beis Hillel, that once it's permitted to carry and to light a fire to cook for eating purposes on Yom Tov specifically, even for things that are not for eating purposes, like for a mitzvah, for a person's personal pleasure, then carrying and lighting a fire would actually be permitted on Yom Tov. And that's what we learned early in our parak. We said that you could, take fruit and transport it through your sunroof, right, into your house on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. And here, the transporting, right, well, it's true, it's for the fruit, but you may not be actually eating it. You may just doing it because you don't want to get, you don't want to lose it. You don't want to get damaged. So that's for a person's personal pleasure. And we permit it on Yom Tov, but we don't permit it on Shabbos. So that's an example right away of this concept. And that's it for Mishnah Beis. We'll hold it here for today, because Mishnah Beis is pretty long. And then tomorrow we'll continue from Mishnah Gemel. Okay.